today on Cool Cars with Chris, we are discussing what it's like taking your vehicle to the dealership. Dealership horror stories, dealership stories in general, repair stories in general. Courage joins me on this episode, and you're not going to believe what happened to my Ford F-150. You'll hear all about that in this episode. Let's go. Welcome back to Cool Cars with Chris, and we have the fantastic, the wonderful, the amazing Courage himself. How you doing today, Courage?
Doing good. Don't make my head too big-headed.
Appreciate it. It's pretty big as it is. I get that.
Appreciate it, man. I'm excited to talk about cars as usual.
Oh, thanks for having me. Speaking of cars, man, how's your awesome, sweet, you know, four-door sports car doing?
It's doing great. It is on four jack stands right now.
No way. Is it broken down? What happened?
It is. Luckily, it's not right now, but I'm doing some, I don't want to say overdue maintenance. It's been time to do the oil for the last like week or so, but getting an oil change. I'm going to be doing brake pads as well. Probably bleeding the brakes for the first time as well. So just a little bit of maintenance for now. And obviously now since it's raining and I wasn't really planning to drive the car in the rain anyway, it's a perfect time.
Yeah. What kind of oil does that thing take?
So it's kind of a weird one. Some folks end up going with 5-weight 30, which is kind of, you know, kind of the standard with a lot of cars, but OEM is actually 0-weight 30.
And full synthetic, I would think, right?
It is full synthetic. Yeah. But yeah, the rating is a lot different from any other car that I've had. Pretty much every other car that I've owned has been 5-weight 30. And so, you know, and now having like two different oils in my garage, like at certain points is always a little nerve wracking too, because you want to make sure you put the right stuff. But again, 5-weight 30 still works in these cars, especially if you are modifying them. But right now it's like, yeah, it's the 0-weight 30. So I had to go to a specific spot where I usually get it all the time. So
really, what brand of oil do you use? Like, you have a favorite?
I go with Mobil.
Mobil One?
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I just go with whatever the dealership gives me. You know, speaking of brakes, I said I took my truck in to get oil change, and they said I needed brakes on the rear, which is always kind of weird because I would think, by the way physics is designed, is that the front brakes would go out faster than the back brakes because all the weight's being thrown towards the front of the vehicle. And I don't haul a lot of stuff in my truck, a lot of heavy stuff in my truck regularly. Yeah. So I was kind of wondering why the back ones going out and the front ones are okay. I was kind of odd.
But yeah, that would be a question I would be asking too, because a lot of times like where I would usually do all four, it was because the front ones were the ones that were going out or were ready for it. But yeah, I don't know, maybe just bias in terms of brake, because, you know, you can get into brake bias of like, you know, what part is braking more than the other, but that is different for sure.
Well, I think someone did tell me that had something to do with the fact that it's a truck and people put stuff in the back of the truck. And so the weight, but I said, I'm not hauling, you know, rocks or anything heavy. I mean, I've hauled some stuff like one time. I've done some heavy loads in my truck, but like one, it wasn't like a regular occurrence. It was like one time event kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that one time event would have did damage or I guess wore out the brakes this far, you know, years later or
whatever. Yeah, cause that much more wear than like the front. Yeah.
I don't know. That's something I got to look out for and take it in. So probably next time or next couple of times, take it in and get the brakes done on the back. I'm like, great. Whatever. But props to you, man. You do everything yourself, because I would get frustrated and pissed off and just end up, you know, taking the car to the dealership anyways.
And I wouldn't say at all that I do everything. Like I draw the limit at some things for sure. Like a transmission fluid is one of the big ones, because transmission fluid in manual cars is a very, very messy process to like both drain it and put it back in. You basically have to use like a big, like one of those like turkey baster pumps, like the larger ones to get the fluid back in it. And transmission fluid smells awful. Just like differential fluid smells absolutely awful. Like those are the two, like, and there's other things too that I'm like, I'm not dealing with that. Like I've gotten the oil changes and brake pads down just because I've done it a few times, but certain major stuff.
Can you do the brakes in my truck? Can you do the brakes in my truck for me?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that. I'm like, it's, I think we talked about this earlier. It's one of those things where like you get excited, like, oh yeah, it's time to do maintenance on the car. Like I'm gonna get everything ready and it's gonna go super smooth. And you're like 10 minutes in and you're frustrated just because you're trying to jack the car up and it's not going the way you expect it. And then you spill oil somewhere. Well, you gotta clean that up.
The brakes should be easy on my truck. They're just the back ones. You just pull the tires off and the brakes
pull
are
them off. Yeah.
They're right there because it's under the wheel well of the truck bed. Yeah. So it's not like there's probably plenty of space in there, I would think, to kind of work around versus
you trying to come all the way up here to Temecula?
I might have to. I might have to, you know, if it's going to save me some money, I might have to do that. First of the dealership's going to charge you.
And, oh, man.
And speaking of dealerships, so today on Cool Cars with Chris and Courage, is that you want to discuss like what it's like getting a car at a dealership, right?
Or like basically dealership experience. And it doesn't necessarily, I was thinking too, it doesn't have to necessarily be like the buying process. But, you know, even if it was like maybe, you had a great experience or a terrible experience with, like you said, like with maintenance, even just like I wanted to generalize it to overall maintenance or overall dealership experience, if that makes sense.
Now, as far as I know, as far as dealers go, because I know in Temecula or everywhere in San Diego, you got different companies have their own dealers. It used to be a big deal where it was like Joe Blow's Toyota or whatever, you know what I mean? Their sign mm-hmm. and you'd see like their brand on TV and their commercials. Remember the old guy? I'm probably too young for this, I guess, when they had the guy on TV with like the walking like the lions or the walking the bears or whatever on the dealership lot and the guy in the cowboy hat. What was that? I heard, you know what I'm talking about? It's probably from like Midwest somewhere where they had the guy that do these crazy
it almost girls. Sounds like if Tiger King had his own dealership or something.
Yeah, I think it was something like that where the dealership guy would be the owner of the dealership or whatever, Crazy Lou or whatever. And he'd have like whatever exotic animal on display. They're walking it through the dealership, you know, look at it. We've got these ones and we got these cars and we got these cars. He's like pointing to different cars that are on sale. So slashing prices, come this weekend, buy now, sell, whatever it is, you know, all the crazy stuff. And these have all those crazy, like local dealership commercials like that. And I don't think I see too many of those anymore on TV that are like that.
That's a good point. I mean, I have watched like when I'm like maybe traveling for work or something and I'm like in a hotel and I'm, you know, or Airbnb or whatever. And I happen to like be on a local channel. I have seen that every once in a while where it's like the local dealership, you know, promoting, you know, their you know, whatever brand that they're promoting for that commercial. It definitely is not on the level of that at all.
It's like production circus kind of style stuff.
Yeah, like it's definitely more of like, you know, they're very corporate about it and they're really trying to be like the face of the brand.
They use a lot of stock footage video from like the main commercial, like the main Toyota commercial, like those like rolling videos and stuff, and rolling shots and all that stuff of whatever car. Speaking of trucks, today I was at Costco and they had a Toyota Tacoma 4x2 extra cab. It's really basic. It had the tiny wheels on the thing. It was like lifted. It was higher up, but it wasn't like low. It was higher up, I guess. I think they're all higher up now, but it was like 36,000 is what it had.
So I'm going to show a little ignorance here. What does 4x2 mean?
Oh,
I'm
sorry. It's a two-wheel drive.
Okay, so that's all it meant. Because I was curious if it meant something else. Because I've heard
like four wheels on the ground, I guess. But there's like two wheels that power it.
But there's two. Yeah. Okay. Because I hadn't heard that in a while. But
well, that's what it said on the sticker too. Is that 4x2? I was like, that must mean two wheel drive. I'm guessing. Because I guess 4x4 means four wheel drive power. So
because that's gonna what they cost had. You more money. Like
yeah. So most people get the four wheel drive and those things. And those things do supposedly they're supposed to last a long time and things like that. And then. It's still a lot of money for like a base. Oh, it was like a base model. Like it might have had Apple CarPlay. It might have had power windows and AC.
Them cloth seats.
Yeah, the basic stuff, the normal stuff you expect in a car.
Yeah.
But the wheels looked very like stock. I was telling my son we walked by this. If you were to get this, I mean, you might want to like get like bigger wheels, bigger tires. You probably can lift on.
You're already letting them know like what you should do. Yeah.
You can do. There's probably a ton of aftermarket stuff for 100%. The Toyota lineup. For Toyota Tacomas, huge
random fact for you, which you probably already know too, is you do you know what they call like the Wrangler, the electric Wranglers?
E something or other?
The 4xEs.
Yes, that's what 4x. Yes, yes.
Yeah. When I first like started hearing that, I was like, that is kind of like a genius kind of deal, like to like, you know, you're taking on still like that, you know, that persona of the 4x4, but then you're sliding in the electric with the E. Like, I thought that was kind of genius marketing. And they do that too, where like on the emblem it's 4xE, but the E is blue and it's lowercase.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, for the environment, for like, you know, I don't want to sound green, but yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe yeah, blue for electric, because you think of like electric eel and electric stuff, and we think of like blue, like lightning blue or something, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Listen, I'm not in marketing. I don't know how this stuff works. But dealerships themselves, like, you know, I've taken my other F-150 I have back to the dealership. I had problems with the oil. It's funny, I have problems with the oil here too, because they send the oil on my new F-150. It burns oil, and I say that's normal. Okay, if as long as it doesn't break, okay, which I hope it doesn't, because it's totally out of warranty right now. Mm. Now, my other F-150 had the first generation 5.0 Coyote, and I was so excited to get that motor, because I heard about that motor coming out, and I was like, holy crap, the 5.0 is back. It's double overhead cam, finally. You know, it's 32 valve, double overhead cam, finally. You know, we're getting some serious power, finally. You know, on these things. Yeah. And they're putting that same engine in the Mustang, and they're putting it in the F-150. Yeah. And I was like, well, I can't use a Mustang. I got a newborn on the way. I got a newborn baby in the way, and I got, like, you know, kids and stuff. So the F-150 was great. So I got the F-150. Great. Love that engine, right? But I noticed one day, I'm in the drive-thru at Starbucks, hot summer day, like really hot, sitting in the Starbucks drive-thru. So it's just sitting there idling, you know. And my truck has, like, you know, your standard gauges, but, like, it also in the center of my new F-150 and the old F-150 had this little miniature display in the middle that told you different things. You can kind of scroll through the display and, like, check different things and all that kind of stuff, fuel gauge and fuel mileage and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, this big red warning thing comes on and starts flashing on me and saying, no oil pressure. And I'm like, what? That can't be right. That's a newer truck. What is that? You know? So I thought it was just a glitch. I thought it was just hot glitching. I don't know. Turn the truck off, turn it back on. It ran okay. It went fine. And then I'm like, you know what? Let me check the oil when I get home. I checked the oil when I get home. Nothing. I had nothing.
Wow.
That can't be good. So then I run to the quickest, like cheapest, like place I could find to get oil. I think it was like an AutoZone or O'Reilly's or something like that. I get the quarts of oil, get like 5 quarts, whatever it took, 8, I don't know what it was. Put it in there, got oil on the dipstick to show up on the dipstick, like up to like where the markers were at. I ran it to the dealership that very same day. And I said, so what the problem was. And so what they decided to do was check the oil, and they changed the oil. They will change the oil, and we'll put like a marker level on the dipstick to see if, you know, we'll see where, you know, we'll come back and check it or whatever kind of a thing. So they did that. And sure enough, a little while later, it did the same thing again. Wow. And so I took it back to the dealership. I said, you guys, here, keep it and figure it out and get back to me, literally. You know?
What would you say is, like, if you remember, like, what was the time frame and, you know, when they did the test and then when you were like, when you noticed that again?
I'm going to say it probably was definitely within the same year.
Mm-hmm.
So it might have been within a few months. Now I think about it later.
Gotcha,
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember when I got the truck. When I got the truck actually taken in, because when I took it in, they did a full like microscopic like investigation into like the cylinder heads and the piston rings and all that stuff. And they determined that the oil was bypassing the piston rings or something like that. I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
And so since it was under warranty, it was a fairly newer vehicle, they were able to give me a brand new engine block.
They just replaced it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whole new engine block for my truck. It was all done in-house, but unfortunately, so it was gone for 2 weeks. They gave me a rental car. Now, you would think they would give me an equal-sized vehicle.
Yeah,
but
I'm excited to see where this goes.
But because it's under Ford warranty, maybe it's under warranty. Maybe different warranties do different things. Maybe because this was covered under the factory warranty of Ford, not like some aftermarket thing, not anything special, just your generic, regular Ford warranty.
Yeah.
They said, we only allow you a certain dollar amount for a rental car, which is like the lowest amount they had, right? So they put me in some freaking stupid clown car. It was like, no offense to, I know you got a Hyundai. No offense to Hyundai. It was the Hyundai. What is the smallest, the Accent maybe, I'm thinking?
Oh, so it wasn't even a Ford car.
No, it was like they had like a fleet. They had like a Enterprise on site.
Interesting.
And so they just sent me over to their Enterprise on site. Enterprise people or whatever over there. They've got rental something, or maybe it's close by. Something like that.
That's such a missed opportunity, in my opinion, because I feel like certain brands have like gotten dialed in where they like they if you're in a loaner car, especially for like a longer period of time, they would want you to be in a loaner car of something that, again, of their brand, essentially.
If and they like have give, their own cars, to
if
get
they
out,
have yeah. their own cars, but yeah, again, knowing you know that they could just do that, like that's probably easier financially for them to partner with Enterprise. But dang, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I had newborn. Well, not newborn, but he was in the car seat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I had to pack all that crap in this tiny little. I'm pretty sure it was four door. But yeah. It could have been two door.
Because they did have the accent around. Because when was this? What was
the year? I think was like 2013, 2014, somewhere around there.
So yeah, the accent probably was still around. Like they did have like the Elantra. The Sonata was a lot smaller of a car back. Like the Sonata now is like a mid-sized car, but the Sonata used to actually be pretty compact itself.
Yeah, so. It was like Toyota Corolla, I think, size.
Yeah. So I mean, it could have been one of those too.
Yeah. So 2 weeks went by. Week went by, and I called them and I said, "What's the story on the engine?" "Oh, it's still out of the truck," and blah blah blah, whatever. And so, but what's funny is that the guy, could they give you when you do major surgery on a vehicle, they usually have your service guy you're dealing with, like your dedicated guy, your contact at the dealership. It's the person running your file, running your case, running your like he's your go-to guy for your particular car, right?
Yeah.
And so I was talking with this guy, dealing with this guy. But at the time, the dealership, like I didn't know this, so I took a truck in, obviously. The dealership was changing ownership.
Yeah.
They were changing ownership to a new company. Like dealers do this a lot. They sell, they change names. And like, that was that company, now it's some other company.
Yeah.
And turns out the guy working on my truck, like the guy that was telling me all this stuff, he told me when the truck was being picked up, he told me it'll be ready on this day or whatever, or something like that. He told me that because the dealership is changing, you know, ownership, that they are not keeping him on when they change ownership. And I'm like, well, who am I going to talk with? Like, who am I going to talk to about my truck and knows all the stuff? So when I went to go pick the truck up, he was gone because now it's like, I guess, new ownership or whatever. I don't know. It's like literally just changed like the day before. Like it just changed. It's very fresh.
Yeah.
So when I get my truck and get the basic like paperwork for the dealership that you can't even read because it's like it's weird codes and stuff on there, a bunch of like dealership information, like stuff that they understand, or I guess, you know, have you ever seen like a receipt from the dealership of any kind of service?
Yeah.
It's got your vehicle and your mileage and like stuff you understand, but then at the bottom has got like these part numbers and codes and different things and all this stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to find somebody to help explain to me what they did to my engine. Like, what did they do? You know? And So I had to find somebody. He's looking at it. Oh, it looks like they fixed something. It's very generic. Like, yeah, I know that. I know they fixed it. Yes, I know. That's like, what they told me.
Give me the real information.
Like, right. I mean, what did you do? Like, I mean, I heard they had to like resurface the heads. Resurface the heads of the block, the match, the block, new block or something. I don't know.
Wasn't like they didn't just drop in. Like it wasn't like a, you know, I don't want to say a crate motor because obviously that's
no, kind but of they did get a new block. They said the block was new, but then everything but else attached to it,
gotcha.
They had to like, I guess, do something and put it back in there.
So sort of technically speaking, it was a massive rebuild of the engine. But I guess when you're changing the block, like that really is like the core of like a specific engine. So I guess you can at that point say that it's a new engine in a sense. When you're right. Like you put the block, but then you're stacking on all the, you know, maybe you have some shared components from the other engine.
And that's what I kind of wanted to find out when I was asking, like, look at this like list. What does all this stuff mean on this paperwork here that I can't really even understand?
Well, that's a valid question too, because like in my mind, if thinking like if you got a new engine, like they dropped in a new engine, but in reality, yeah, like if they kind of mix and match like older parts with newer parts, like you still have to kind of be, you know, in a sense, like you want to be on top of like what still might go wrong? Like, right, what's still on the from the older car that I would still need to keep like maintenance records on to know like it's time to replace this, even though this is a quote unquote new engine. So no, that's a valid point that you.
And the guy looked at it, nobody could really help me, and so I just got the thing first. The very first thing I did, honest to God, I popped the hood. First thing I did, I popped the hood, make sure the only make sure the engine was actually there, but I make sure like because if they do some major surgery on your vehicle, like major stuff, like that is a major operation. Like I told the guys at work that was being done on my truck. Like that's like a major operation. That's not like an oil change. That's not a brake job.
No.
You know, that is some serious surgery. And so I mean, I will pop the hood and I want to make sure that when I'm looking at it, like it actually is like I can tell because you can kind of tell if a vehicle has had work on it by the shiny new parts. Mm-hmm. You know, and if everything looks all dirty and like they haven't touched it, you know, I would have been so pissed. Oh my God, I'd be so pissed if it looked like they didn't touch the vehicle at all or something. I'd be like, what the hell did they just do? But I looked at it. It looked newer. It looked a little different. You know, I mean, of course, I haven't seen the engine in a while. But and then I drove. It seemed fine. Everything ran fine. It ran for a while. I haven't had any issues at all with that engine since I bought it. I put on that was about 45,000 miles when that happened.
Yeah,
and maybe less than that, and I ended up trading it in at 120,000.
Oh wow! Oh, so you put a lot of miles on that afterwards? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I had like an oil pump issue, and the funny thing about the oil pump water pump issue. It was water pump, and it was funny. I heard like a squealing sound coming from underneath the hood, like a squealy, high pitched squealy sound. Like that's kind of weird. And when it rained, it kind of went away. Okay. And so that's when I took it in the dealership. They found out it was a water pump leaking or something like that or whatever and something. It leaked under the belt or something. And so on that particular warranty, that was under the aftermarket warranty. I bought the extended warranty on the truck. Mm. And that covered that. But I had to pay a stupid deductible. That's something you don't tell you that. When you get the regular warranty the most factory cars give you, you get automatically, you get like I got the small little Hyundai and I got like the, I ended up paying nothing out of pocket. They took care of everything, whatever. The other time I had to pay the $100 deductible, but they did give me like my choice of rentals. So I did rent a full size Expedition.
Yeah.
And that was only for like one day or whatever it was.
And that was on the extended warranty.
Yes. Yes. Okay. But I think it's been a while since it's been so long ago. I think I might have paid out of pocket and they reimbursed me or something goofy. There was some few extra like hurdles I had to go through. It wasn't like a straight across.
Yeah.
Kind of like
health insurance or something where like you're paying your premium. Well, hey, the health insurance, you kind of get it paid in some instances, but like pet health insurance, I guess is a better example where
we just put the dog down.
I was just talking to somebody about that too. And like the sad, unfortunate thing is like, when you get hit with like a $7,000 bill on a dog, or a cat. Like, you know, as much as we love both animals, like
I know. I mean, people love their animals. They do. They really love their animals. I mean, I love animals too. Don't get me wrong. You know, I love dogs and I had dog with my ex-wife and my, you know, I get
it. You're talking $7,000.
Yeah. I mean, but dude, she paid like almost that for the dog itself.
Wow. So, what breed of dog was
it? Oh, it was called the Habibi Bear. And it's a special breed of dog. It's only bred in Seattle, Washington.
Huh.
So she had to fly up there to get the dog and bring the dog back in puppy crate and on the plane and all that stuff. So she paid top dollar for the dog. Wow. So, but back to the dealership thing. So they gave me the Expedition. It was great. I had it for like one day. And so they were fine with that. But there's times I've taken things to the dealership, like that same truck, the air conditioning, for some reason that the air conditioning has got like four settings. It's like a turn dial, you know, actual physical, it's not digital. It's a physical, you know, lever or like knob. And so you turn it from like 1, 2, 3, 4, full blast is high. And I noticed for some reason only it was off or full blast were the only ones that were working, not the in-between. So I took it to the dealership and they were saying like, oh, we can't see it this week. It's going to be like 2 weeks later. And then it's going to be like X amount of dollars to look at the thing and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. So as I'm driving back, I notice there's a little mechanic shop that says air conditioning on the door or whatever, like new air conditioning stuff. Like pulled in there, asked the guy, "Oh yeah, it's this little fuse. We can get it done like next week." It was like $100. Like, okay, I'll go with you guys.
And we did it. Yeah, and we can do it tomorrow. Like,
right, you know, right. So that's one case where I said, "Well, I'll try some other place, not the dealership." But that's kind of been my dealership experiences. Not including financing, of course. That's a whole nother gamut. But what do you have? What is your dealership story? Yeah.
No, that's interesting. There's, you know, you've maybe had a little bit more diverse experience than I have overall. But, you know, I've had some really good experience with dealerships. And I wouldn't say bad. Like, I haven't had, like, a really just terrible experience. I've had some frustrating ones, and I'll maybe talk about the one that we talked about earlier. But, you know, just to start with the good is actually, because I've shared that I have a Infiniti M35, a 2008 M35 that I've had for like I was talking to my wife today about it. I've had it for almost 7 years now, which is pretty crazy. But, you know, the car has been awesome. Like, you know, it was a one owner car before me and super well maintained. And it was actually maintained at the dealership that I used to go to down in San Diego that I lived next to. I was when we moved, we had an apartment that was like within like 5 minutes of the dealership. And so I would, you know, I would take the car there for all the maintenance, all the oil changes, like anything else that it needed. I did some extra things too, because the car, when I bought it, had 130,000 miles.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. It was, you know, it was an 08, you know, it was a lot of highway miles, which is the case with a lot of these like kind of more full size sedans or like
and
SUVs.
And also think Southern California too.
Yeah, because it just takes you, you know, where our highways take, you know, it takes a long to get between like cities and things. People commute a lot. Like, it's just kind of common to see cars that have like kind of gotten miles that are quote unquote kind of racked up. But, you know, he did a lot of commuting because I think he lived in like Encinitas area and he worked down south or something like that. But it was, but the car overall just checked out, you know, I had it inspected and everything really checked out well. But I took it to the same dealership that I bought it from. And I started to build a relationship with some of the guys there. Like, they knew me when I was coming in. To be totally honest, like, my car was like one of the nicest like M's that were still like on the road at the time. And so like whenever I came in, like, they would all, "Oh yeah, he's back. Like, he's like keeping the car in the state that he bought it in," which is not usually the case with a lot of these like secondhand like M cars or like G35s. Like, you know, once they start to change hands at a certain point, you start to see it kind of go downhill in terms of maintenance and upkeep and things like that. But yeah, I started to build a relationship with these guys and was taking it to them. And one time particularly, one of the guys, one of the service techs there, he basically was like, "Yeah, you know, you're due for like a little bit more of a major service this time around. Like, you know, you can obviously kind of opt out of these if you want, but like, you know, I definitely recommend it like down the road." And I told him, you know, well, to be totally honest, like, because they had a very great like rental car fleet there, because they're one of the ones that would actually kind of rent out like, or, you know, basically give you their cars that were on there. They had a rental fleet specific to Infiniti. So they had a whole
fleet. Yeah, I think BMW does that too, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So you still get like the placard on the back window that says like, you know, courtesy car from,
yes, yeah,
you know, Infiniti of San Diego or whatever. But they were still really nice, you know, rental cars. And so, you know, coincidentally, my wife's family was in town. And I knew that we were kind of considering like doing something with them for the day. And I told him, I can't quite remember his name now. I think his name was Garrett, I think. But I told him, "Hey, you know, I got actually family in town, and, you know, they drove down, but like her dad didn't really want to drive his car around. And, you know, we're going to be turning the car in today. Like, you know, definitely do all of it, because I just want to make sure like we're on top of everything, because it's an older car and everything. But like, we would really like to get like a full size car to like be able to like kind of take them around and have a little day trip." And he was like, "Oh yeah, no, 100%. Like, you're here. Like, we know you. You're always maintaining the car here with us. You basically just choose whatever you want."
No way.
And so they had like the QX60.
That's a big one, right? That's a big guy, right?
So that's like it's big. It's a three row, but it's not the biggest that they have. they actually had a QX80.
That's what I'm thinking. The 80, that's right.
That's the big one, the Armada style, like okay, the Beluga okay, well, yeah. like the big, huge, big daddy one.
The V8 and everything, right?
With the V8 and everything. And it actually was, it wasn't a limited model, but it definitely wasn't a base model either. And he was like, yeah, just choose whichever one you want, like, you know, and we'll get things taken care of with the car. I was like, cool. Like, you know, so I go out, you know, we choose the QX80 because I'm like, man, I want to experience what that's
why
like.
Why not? Go big, go home, why baby. Why not?
Yeah. You know, had a fun day with the, you know, drove all the way out to like Encinitas or whatever, spent the day at the beach, like came back and they were done the same day. So we, you know, we brought the car back right before they closed or whatever. And it was just cool, like kind of building that experience with them and, you know, having that ability to just like, oh yeah, let me take that one. Like, you know, I hadn't had that experience at all, like with any other dealers before that. You know, the other side of the coin though is that, you know, the maybe more negative side, and we talked about this a little bit, is unfortunately is the Hyundai experience, which, you know, to be totally honest, when I first got my car back in 23, I believe is when I bought it, you know, when I first got used to kind of going there and seeing that a lot of times, like folks that are showing up for service in their cars are a lot of times like, you know, early 2010s cars, you know, older Sonatas, like, you know, older Santa Fes that like are pretty rough, but they're in there not for general maintenance, but because they have like some pretty big problems.
Major surgery.
They're going in for major surgery. It's like the environment's a lot different. It's just like overall, like the workers there, the service techs are just a little bit different in terms of their mentality. The people there that are just waiting, like they're not, you know, maybe sipping on coffee, just kind of waiting for their car. Like they're frustrated because this is probably like, you know, the third time they've been there this week, checking on like the status of their car. Like it was a different experience. And, you know, I had a good amount of oil changes because I got, when I bought the car, I got free oil changes for like, you know, for 3 years or 30,000 miles, I think. And the car is still under warranty. So, you know, I was still taking it there for that. But I'd share with you that I took it there one time and was just curious about some condensation that I started getting in one of the headlights. And it would only happen like times where maybe it was like really hot. And then like in the evening, it kind of cooled down drastically. So you start to get like a bit of moisture that builds up. So I just asked them, like, could they take a look while they were doing the oil change and some other stuff? And I showed up after, and the guy, you know, says like, yeah, so we did your oil change. Like, obviously that's free because I was still on the...
That's what they had to do. Thinking, that's the part
they had to
do.
Yeah, that's what they had to do. And then he's like, yeah, but you know, we were going to take a look at your headlight, but unfortunately the tech said they couldn't take a look at it because you had a modification to the headlights.
No way. What kind of modification?
It's not a modification.
Oh, no. Well, look at that wrong.
I have a bad, like, so they're called badge skins, but they're literally just like a vinyl strip that's on the outside of the headlight that kind of covers the DRL. So they like, you, my DRLs are like yellow instead of the white kind of, you know, the stock color, but it's literally applied vinyl over the top of the headlight. It's not as if I removed the headlight to put it on. It's not as if I opened the headlight up and put it inside that's covering the LEDs. It's literally a sticker at the end of the day. It's like a glorified sticker. But to them, because it's something that's on the stock part, they didn't even want to look at it, touch it, like even investigate slightly what was going on with it. And that has kind of set my tone for the dealership experience overall, where, again, now I've shared that, you know, I do have some other modifications done to the car now.
Oh, my goodness. They're going to be like, this car, we're not touching nothing. Now, I'm surprised they didn't say nothing and we changed the oil. Because they changed the oil, they're about the hood, they can see stuff too. They didn't say nothing for anything at all?
No. That was like, if I wouldn't have even asked them about the headlight condensation, they wouldn't have said anything. They would have just said, oh, yeah, we did the oil change, like, you're good to go. But because particularly what I asked them to look at had something that was different from factory, they just closed the door on it.
So. Wow, dude. I think in their defense, I think they're thinking that like we can't fix this because we can't be responsible, I guess, maybe is a better word, responsible for anything that can go wrong.
And I 100% get it from that perspective. Like, you know, and I would totally own up to that with a true modification is if I was like, you know, I have an intake on the car. Like, you know, if anything goes wrong, like, yeah, they can say like, okay, maybe the intake contributed to that.
Right. Like say throttle body kind of
thing. Throttle body.
Yeah. If you had a throttle body issue and then they're like, oh, say there's a recall on the throttle body, right? And you took it in, they would like laugh at you to get out of here with that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even, they said, well, your intake is touching the
throttle body. Your intake is touching the throttle body. Yeah. Like I would accept that 100%. You know, a sticker over a part of the car, even if it is the headlight itself, is that just seems silly to me. Like at the end of the day, and I now just kind of knowing that it's not as though like I would never ever take my car to a Hyundai dealer. I'm not saying that at all, but I avoid it as much as I can. Like I said, I do my own oil changes now. Like I change my own brakes. Like the things that I can kind of control, I actually just control it myself now at this point. Funny thing though, I'm actually really impressed with them though, is that they sent me a letter probably like 3 months ago on the high pressure fuel pumps. They had a recall on those and they had like kind of some different situations where they were kind of, you know, toying around with some different scenarios, but they sent me a letter that said that the high pressure fuel pump is now a 15 year, 115,000 mile warranty product. So essentially, even if your car is out of warranty with everything else, the high pressure fuel pump is under warranty for 15 years or 150,000 miles.
Why would they even do that? Why did they need to say that?
I'm not sure.
It goes back to Hyundai in general, because I remember when Hyundai kind of like made this big push. I mean, Hyundai's been around for a long time. But if you remember, sometime was it the early 2000s or something like that, when they made a big giant stink where they're saying, we're the only company that gives you a 100,000 mile, that it was?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Which they still do. They still have that.
Okay.
The only reason I don't have it is because it doesn't apply to the second owner. It only applies to
really?
The first owner.
Man, yeah. The fine print, man. They get you on that stuff for sure. You know, but I remember hearing about that 100,000 mile like warranty. Like we brag about it. We have 100,000 mile warranty, and I think it probably got a lot of people in the dealership to buy Hyundai's, new buyers, anyways, thinking like, 100,000 miles, because you know things go wrong and things happen. But once you start like doing modifications on that car, they're like, well, I don't know about this. I don't know about that or this or whatever it is, you know, and things like that. So,
and it's unfortunate too, because like you know, again, be with them. You know, really embracing the N brand now, and you know they're with that. They know that they're kind of bringing sort of the type of buyer that is into, you know, the car scene, is into possibly modifying their cars. Again, they don't. It's not to say that they have to now accept that within their warranty that like if you modify the car, they need to be on the hook for it. Like I'm not saying that.
But I think it's for all dealerships though too. Like every car company probably has a void of warranty.
Oh yeah.
If you do any kind of modifications to the area that needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them do that. They all got to do that. It's got to be like covering their butt kind of a thing. So like, for example, if your JB Fortune you have, if you crank that thing up to 11 and it blew the engine.
Honestly, anything that goes wrong with it, and I'm wholeheartedly accepting that anything that goes wrong powertrain wise, like I got a guy that I'll take the car to. I'm just gonna say
A guy.
Like, I'm not even gonna take it to them. And I wouldn't do that because that's, you know, in all honesty, that's dishonest.
Now had you had no tune or no modification on the vehicle at all, and something does go wrong. First thing they're going to ask you, they ask you this of everybody who blows your engine, is, did you change the oil? Or do you have proof it was changed? Really? Because it happened to my sister once, a long time ago. She had I think she still has a car. Or maybe she got rid of it. It was like an old Toyota Celica. And it was a stick shift. And it was sitting in her yard forever. But I think when it used to run, when she used to drive the thing, she used to like loan the car out because, you know, she's had extra cars. She's like, hey, you take my whatever car. I don't care. And so somebody drove, one of her friends drove it, you know, another girl. I'm not saying girls aren't great mechanics, but, or know anything about cars. Not saying that. I'm just saying for this particular case, that is the truth. So this person just drove it, just changed the gas, you know, new gas, changed whatever, oil. What's oil? Is that a thing? We have to do this? What's oil you speak of? And so it like broke the engine. The engine like either like threw a rod or something happened. Anyways, need a whole replacement engine. And the war, it was under warranty. She's like, well, it's under warranty, whatever. And they were fighting on her on it because she couldn't prove she changed the oil or anybody changed the oil. She couldn't prove it. And I don't know how she got them to change to fix it, how it worked out. I don't know if they had records or double records or somehow they checked something. But that's why, like, I know you changed the oil yourself, but I was kind of wondering, like, they
how
can
do you track
that? How do you prove that when you have to do some serious engine repair work? Because you're gonna you need to prove you changed the oil. And that's why and also for the hassle of all, like changing in the oil and having the mess of it all and all that stuff. It's like, I just take it into place. I just take it in somewhere. When you take it in, they're supposed to log it in their system, especially at the Ford dealer, maybe at these other places too. They all log it in some system. So there's the Carfax. You ever pull the Carfax on your car?
They're pulling it,
It has all the repair, or they call it service records, and that includes like oil changes. They'll call it like service record. I don't think go into the specifics, but they say service records on the Carfax, and that you can use that as evidence to say, hey, yes, I have done some service on this vehicle. It's proof. Yeah. The oil has been changed. So
no, super. That's a really good point. 100%. And yeah. And I think we talked about this too, is that like, to be honest, like, you know, I would probably still just be taking the car to the dealer if it was still completely stock, like with nothing on it. Like I would probably still be taking it to them, but I do enjoy it. Like, you know, it's kind of my time to listen to podcasts, which, you know, hopefully folks are listening to this one, but you know, it's my podcast time. It's my music time. Like my youngest is actually like super into it too. Like when I'm doing anything on the car, he's like super excited to see stuff going on. So I enjoy it for that reason. But yeah, like, you know, there's a benefit to just being able to take it in, get it done, especially if it's covered, like, you know, if you're getting free oil changes, you know, things are under warranty. Yeah. But
oil changes aren't that much, really. I mean, they're expensive. But they're not like crazy. I mean,
they're not crazy.
We're not talking a Lambo here, you know, which is like whole engine out kind of oil change. We're talking like,
or at least like dropping a whole bunch of panels and things like.
My Z has so many damn panels under the front of my Z. Had this big, like, I think it had like 30 different like screws or whatever you had to like
bolts
take
and like, and that's where you start to see like the labor cost goes up because they had to just deal with stuff like that. For sure. But yeah, I guess to your point though, the main track record I guess I have of oil changes is I actually always get my oil filters from Hyundai or from wherever. Like even when I do maintenance on the Infiniti, like I still get OEM filters from the Infiniti dealership here, along with like the crush washers that you're supposed to change out every time you open your drain plug. Yeah, like I replace those every time. Like every time I open the drain plug, I put a new crush washer.
I wonder if the dealership does that when I take it in. I have no idea.
I 100% don't think the Hyundai dealerships are. Like I 100% don't. And my main evidence around that is because I always have to ask them to give me one when I buy an oil filter.
They're like, well, it's right here somewhere. I have to find out where we keep those things.
Like with the Infiniti dealer, like he knows, like, and this is the guy I go to pretty often over here, like in the service department, he knows like, okay, you know, crush washer or oil filter. And he didn't even have to like, I didn't have to ask him. He just told me like, oh yeah, we'll get you the oil filter or the crush washer along with it. For Hyundai, like every time I go, I have to make sure I ask them, because the one time where I didn't ask them, I opened up the box, not realizing that I didn't ask. And they didn't have one. And so I had to go back and just buy, you know, I bought two or three at the time so I wouldn't have to like worry about it for a little while.
Oh, nice. Nice.
But yeah, I'm 100% sure they're not doing that.
Well, it sounds like you're really on top of your vehicle. And I know that if you have a cool car, you listening at home, or have a car you're proud of, I know that you are definitely on top of any issues. You hear it sound, make a weird sound, you're on top of it like the same day. Or changing the oil on time, not too late. I mean, my ex-wife would wait till her car went into like the little pinging sound it made on the dash. Oil change needed. And I'm like, why are you taking it? So why even like, you know, it's got 5% left. We're good, you know, or whatever it says it is, you know. Dude, I've been changing it at like 20% or 30%. Somewhere in there.
What'd you say that is in terms of mileage, if you know?
I think it's right around like 5,000 to 7,000.
Got you.
Okay. Yeah. So according to the Ford booklet, according to Ford themselves, my truck in particular Same thing with my other engine, because it's the same engine, same oil, I guess, same oil pan, I guess. Says it was good for 10,000 between oil changes. That's what it says. Now, I asked the guys at Ford, they said probably you probably should do it every 7 or 5. And they talked to some old school mechanics, they'll say every 3,000. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what
it
says.
Which is what I'm on, like the end's on like 30, every 3,500 miles.
My Z, or so. I did it about every 5,000 on the Z. It was 6,000. I don't know. Something like that.
Somewhere. Like, and I say like, you know, 1,000 miles over, like usually, because right now, actually, to be totally honest, like I'm about like 1,100, because I've just been like just a whole bunch of stuff going on and haven't been able to do it. But like I'm maybe 1,100 miles over. So this one's probably more like 4,000 mile interval versus like the 3,500 or the 3,000 that I'm normally at.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, 1,000 like here, that like that's, I'm usually not like that nitpicky. You know, obviously like if you're rated at 5 and you're going to 10 or 11, like that's a different story in my opinion.
Does your car have like because the Fords have the oil life sensor where it tells you a percentage, like a battery on your phone. Does yours do that too?
No, mine is definitely like more just a manual deal. Like, so you could, you know, essentially, you know, just kind of shut it off or like reset it without actually doing anything, which I don't do, obviously, but like it's possible to do. But it's more the older system where it's literally just the computer tracking your mileage. And then once you reset it, it just retracts the mileage. So yeah, it doesn't have like an actual like oil life sensor. The oil, it does say that, but really it's just tracking mileage.
Yeah. Uh-huh. With the Ford's one, I thought it was like that too at first, but then I found out with my ex-wife's car, when she did a lot of towing and it dropped down real quick to like we just changed the oil. And so yeah, but if you do more wear and tear in the vehicle, towing and hauling and things like that, it does.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it works, but it does definitely the percentage is, I won't say accurate, but it does show you.
Like, but it knows that like there's a variation. Like you haven't just been driving this on the highway. Like there's more load. Yeah.
You know? Right. Exactly. So if you do a lot of heavy hauling or towing, it will, that percentage, you'll see it drop quicker. And so like I can check my, it's changed it yesterday. So it's probably at 99 or at least 100%, probably 98% or whatever. I did a little driving, you know, since then. So you'll see, you can log in on the dash and on my app on my phone, I can check it on the phone and I can see where it's at. And I kind of be going off of that. But of course, the dealership always puts a little cute sticker in the windshield. I think most oil change places put the little sticker in the windshield.
They put the little sticker, yeah.
It says like miles were changed and like when you should change it again and things like that. So I usually don't go off of that. I usually been going off with the sensor in my truck tells me. And when it gets like, when it starts dropping below 50%, I start keeping an eye on it, checking the oil, things like that, and making sure that like I never want to take it down to zero, but like 20%-ish range. I think it was 28 or 29% yesterday when I took it in.
Yeah.
So
one thing I was going to, that came to mind actually, because you mentioned about the Carfax and how that kind of tracks your like maintenance schedules and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure if you know that Carfax now has like a way where you can actually click like a self, like a DIY maintenance, you know, kind of toggle, because you can actually adjust, like, because it'll, right now, like all of my cars are on Carfax. And so it like sends me information. And if it sees that like the car is past like its maintenance schedule, you start to get an alert.
Oh, but, yeah. Like emails or whatever.
Yeah. But what I do now is like once I see that, I'll go in, or sometimes I'll do it ahead of time, is you actually go in and then you can mark certain services as like self done or self performed.
Oh, nice.
And you can put in like, you can actually attach pictures of like receipts.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah. And show that like, yeah, the maintenance was done by not, you know, not a dealer or a shop, but
right. I've, because if you take it in and you say you sell to somebody and they do pull the Carfax on your car, you're like, it's all blank. There's no maintenance on the thing at all. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that does definitely help, because the first thing people are going to pull or dealership's going to pull is going to be the Carfax, not the Carfox, different one.
Not the car, yeah.
The Carfax.
Yeah.
And I think it could cost money to do that. You might be able to do a basic.
You do. One. Yeah. You have to pay.
Mm-hmm. And I asked for it when I bought my Z. I asked them for the Carfax. They did pull it on my Z. I had the whole thing and made copies of it, all that stuff. And I was kind of irritated. So they changed the brakes. But they put the wrong brakes on there because the thing did squeal. First day one, I noticed the brakes were squealing. That doesn't sound right. And like, well, maybe it is. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I don't ever owned a 370Z before. Maybe it's what it is. I don't know. You know, they kept squeaking and squeaking. I was like, this doesn't sound right.
What did they say about that? Because I've heard that, because there's actually an issue on the M that has that issue where, like, when it's been sitting outside for a while,
first drive, squeal. I used to back out of my driveway, and my driveway at the old house was a slight, well, this is a hill too, but the other one was a hill also, but it was like dropping out of the driveway, it was like, squeeze, you know, and I'm like, so embarrassed. But yeah. it seemed to kind of go away after a little while, I noticed.
And that's the same deal with that. Yeah, okay. That seems like a normal thing. Well, probably with the steel brakes.
They said they had to be, everything had to be replaced, the rotors, everything. And so I think what happened was that the dealership that bought the used car, so I bought the car from a Dodge dealership. Mm-hmm. Not a Nissan dealership, a Dodge dealership. I bought the Nissan at the Dodge dealership. So you got mistake one, number one, okay? But that's the dealership that sold my car that had the car for sale. So that's where I bought it from. And so they said they changed the brakes. It said on the Carfax, they changed the brakes. Great. I see it right there. But what I think happened is they just might have just changed the pads and didn't use the right material. Because I think he said at the shop that changed it, it had to be a specific type of material of the pad to match the certain type of rotor. Mm-hmm. So, something like that, if I remember correctly. And so, and because they were mismatched or whatever, they squeaked and they made, you know, they were bad or whatever. So when I did take it into the regular shop to do the work on the vehicle, which may be a future sponsor, we'll see, you know, they actually told me, I dropped it off there and they told me when they actually drove the car around into the shop bay, it was squealing so loud. The brakes that everybody, the whole entire building was like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, it was so loud. I was like, yeah, it's pretty loud. I noticed it. You know, I mean, if I'm taking it here, then we got a problem because I mean, it's that bad. We're at the point of like, let's get this thing fixed kind of issue. And which always kind of wondered me because I was like, the brakes are new. They said they just changed them. The dealership says they changed them.
Yeah. So. And that's the issue with like, with brake. And I'll probably end up, like, because I mentioned I was doing brake pads, probably end up changing out the rotors at some point. But, you know, you can resurface rotors and you know, kind of get them to the point where you, like, change pads. You don't always have to change rotors when you change pads, but at a certain point, if they've been used a lot, like, you have the option to resurface them, from my knowledge at least. Or, you know, if you have resurfaced them multiple times, you would need to get them replaced. But it's always kind of a gray area of what that point is. And so a lot of times, I'm sure a dealer like looks at it where like we want as little cost wrapped up into this as possible. So we're just going to do the pads and call it a day.
Especially they're reselling the vehicle. Like think about it. They bought that car used from somebody. I think the guy said somebody traded it on some other car. I forget. Maybe traded it on like a Challenger or Charger or something like that, or who knows what. And so they take the car and they got to flip the thing. So they do the basics, whatever it needs. They just do whatever they got to do, basics, flip it, and then sell it. And they screwed me over so bad. I'll have to get into that another time. But they screwed me over so bad on the dealership there because they double dipped on my sale. And I didn't realize that until I looked at the stupid bill of sale, the big yellow page.
Yeah.
And there was two salesmen there, kind of like, you know, there. Does it mean that equally I gotta pay them both salesman fees to get combined each separately?
I wouldn't think so. No.
But I did. Dude, I paid so much money after crap. Looking at that thing, I'm like, holy crap! All these extra fees and service fees, and when I bought the car, I was like, throw everything at it. Give me the extra warranty. Give me the maintenance package, service package, whatever. Throw it all out there. And so they did, but they also threw in a bunch of like, here's miscellaneous dealership fee for like $2,000. Oh, here's another one for $3,000. I'm like, what the hell are these fees for? Hmm. You know, and next thing you know, I think in fees and maintenance and crap alone was almost equal to the price of the vehicle.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So when I bought my new truck and they tried pulling that game at the dealership, my new truck, I said, absolutely not. I'm only paying for the payment on the vehicle, and that's it. Not paying for anything extra. Don't give me the warranty.
Not even like the license plate cover, like
whatever extra crap. Like, you know, I said, they tried pushing so hard for the service package. They tried selling me that service package. They tried pushing me all that maintenance crap. all the extra warranty. The guy put out the calculator. He's throwing all the kinds of numbers at me, all this stuff. And I was like, nope. And he's like,
put the calculator away.
He's like, if you change it for oil change, it's this much money and this much this, and you save it, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, no. And first off, oil change, you're not $250 in oil change. I know that because I've taken my other truck here before. I know it's not that much. And so, but if the engine blows up or this and this and that. So guess what, dude? Ford's giving me a 60,000 mile powertrain, you know, 5 year on the engine and transmission, and it was a 3 year, 36,000 mile on everything else. Yeah. I think I'm good. After that, whatever. By that time I get to that, hopefully the car's paid off by then. And hopefully I can, if something happens, heaven forbid, I'll just pay for it out of pocket.
Yeah.
And so that's why I've kind of looked at things ever since that. And I try to like not get screwed when it comes to like all the extra fluffy add-ons. They really sell you because they make money on that stuff. I get it. It's all big money grab, you know? And I know things happen with cars. You got to take it in for warranty. And I know all that stuff. That does happen. Things go wrong. But if the manufacturer is giving you a standard warranty, like 10 years for the Hyundai like yours, why would you need to buy a 15-year one? I mean, I guess you could, but why would you need that? I mean, you don't need that, you know? By that time, hopefully the car is like well paid off and hopefully like, you know, I mean, you could probably afford to pay for something.
Yeah, just pay for whatever. Because hopefully everything big has been done during the warranty and like,
you know. But even if it's not, the money you spent on the warranty, you could have saved it, which I did do, and then save it and then put it towards a big job later if something does come up.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you on that because, you know, I've had that option too with the M when I first bought it. Like even with, you know, 130,000 miles, like I could have gotten an extended warranty on that, which, you know, I haven't really had to do anything major to that car since I've owned it. You know, I paid, you know, a little extra for certain maintenance items just to get it out of the way. But, you know, I haven't had to do anything that would have justified doing that. And, you know, yeah, I think there have been some situations where, like, you know, people have gotten some used, like, Land Rovers or, like, some crazy cars that they know they were going to need the maintenance done or, like, just things were going to go wrong. And they got that and it actually ended up paying for itself. But a lot of times, you're just kind of giving some money away and you're not even going to really end up kind of reaping the benefits of having it.
And they're not cheap either. Some of these service plans are like into the multiple thousands of dollars. And you're thinking, well, an engine block is 10 grand. Yeah, I guess. But the odds of that happening, unless you don't change the oil, but the odds of that happening are probably pretty slim that your engine is going to throw a rod. I mean, not saying it won't happen, but if you just change your oil and do the basic maintenance, you should be clear of that happening. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
And if you're a cool car person, a cool car dude, and you like cars and you take care of your car, it's probably not going to happen unless you cranked up your JB4 tune to 11 and you're trying to drag strip somebody down the drag. You're just going to take it to 9,000 RPM every time. Go.
Yeah. Or you're missing the shift.
Oh yeah. And then they can clonk, clonk. You're like, and these parts are flying at the back of your car. Like what happened there?
Yeah.
That can't be good, man. So, but Kira, this has been so fantastic, man, having you stop by today in the rain, man. I know it's been raining outside and thank you. And I appreciate you and everyone listening at home. I appreciate you too, man.